Christmas Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, Why Does God Allow Evil to Prosper?
Well, today I'd like to talk with you for a few moments about this question. If God is good, and if God is all-powerful, why does he allow evil to prosper in the world? You ever think about that? If God is good and he has all power to do whatever he wants, why does he allow wickedness to thrive in the world? I mean, if he is all powerful, why doesn't he just destroy it? If he's all good, why doesn't he just destroy it and get rid of it? Why does God allow evil to prosper in the world and at the same time to allow the righteous to suffer and be brought low? What's going on here? How can we understand this? Does God have an answer for us? Well, God does have an answer for us in Scripture. And so let's take a look today and understand that if God is good and he's all powerful, why he allows wickedness to prosper, which we certainly see, right? We see a lot of wickedness in the world. What's going on here? How do we understand this? What is the secret of the kingdom? Well, first of all, God says to us today through his Scripture that if you have ever asked this question, about why the wicked prosper and why I allow them to prosper, then you are not you're not alone. This has been a question that the saints have asked down through the centuries. Can I show you that in the Scriptures? Have you ever asked this question yourselves? Raise your hand. Every day, okay. Well, do you know, you're not alone in that. Let's take a look, go back through history. Look at Habakkuk, for example. He's writing in about 600 BC when enemies are coming against God's people, and he says, "So Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you'll not hear, or cry violence and you will not save? Why do you make me look on wrongs and see trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise." Verse 13, "O God, you're of purer eyes than to behold evil. You can't look on wrong. Why do you look on faithless men and are silent when the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he?" Isn't that our question? Why do you do nothing, God? The wicked are swallowing up the righteous. Why are you silent? Why do you not come in and smash them and save the day? That's the question of Habakkuk. It's our question. We could look over and David says the same thing there. He was in 1000 BC and he said, "Help, Lord, for there's no longer any that's godly, for the faithful have vanished from among the sons of men." In other words, where are you, God? Everywhere there's wickedness prospering. Why don't you come in and smash it and get rid of it? We could look over also at Asaph in about 1000 BC as well. Chapter 73, he says about the wicked, he says, "I was almost envious of the wicked. Arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for they have no pangs, their bodies are sound and sleek, they're not in trouble as other men are, they're not stricken like other men, their pride is their necklace, violence covers them like a garment. All in vain have I kept my heart clean and washed my hands in innocence." Then he says, verse 16, "When I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task." I mean, how do we understand that? When, you know, like a mafia boss who gets his living by crime has a penthouse in Chicago and drives a fancy car. How do you understand this when you have a guy that's committed 10 felonies and slept with 1,000 women and he's a multimillionaire and NBA basketball player? I mean, how do we put all these things together? In about 450 BC, we have the same question being asked. In the days of Malachi, "For God says to his people, your words have been stout up against me." And they say, "How?" God says, "You've said it's vain to serve God. What's the good of our keeping his charge or walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? Henceforth, we deem the arrogant blessed and evildoers. Evildoers not only prosper, but when they put God to the test, they escape." So do you feel that this is a question that's been asked down through history? We've got 1000 BC, 600 BC, you got 450. BC, you've got your questions. You look and see, God, if you're all powerful, if you are good, why do you allow evil to prosper in the world? What's the answer to this question? What's going on? Well, God has an answer for us. And you know what? In each of these passages, he gives the same answer. And Jesus makes it, which we'll look at later, but Jesus makes it especially clear to us why God allows evil to prosper and the righteous to suffer for a time. Let's take a look at a parable he told, we read a moment ago, in Matthew 13. Are you with me? Let's go to Matthew 13. Jesus is going to answer this question for us. He says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. What kind of seed? Good seed. But while men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the householder came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now what's Jesus talking about here? Do you understand this parable? You probably do, but the disciples didn't get it, and they had to ask Jesus, explain it to us. And here's how he explained it. Listen to these words. He says, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. And the good seed means the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Thus says the Lord Jesus. So, what's this mean? Can we explain this and answer our question? What do you think? Yes or no? Let's take a look at this. This is a parable Jesus told, a story about the kingdom. And what do we learn? Number one, Jesus says the whole world is like a field. Can you picture it? It's like a field. God owns the world, and God is like a farmer, a super farmer. The ruler, the great landowner of this great field called the globe, called the earth, and all the people that are on it. And God is the farmer, and Jesus says, in his field called the world, the globe, there is good seed and good plants, but there's also evil plants, poisonous weeds that have sprung up in my field, says the Lord. And what did the farmer want to do with his field? Well, what does God want to do with the earth? Well, let me ask you a question. You guys some people own and have been farmers, right? Around here, I know. What did you want to sow in your field? Did you go out there to sow wicked, poisonous, rottenest plants in your field? Nobody would do that. You're insane if you do. You sow what? Good stuff. That's going to bring up good plants for a great harvest. God is the one who plants all the good that's in the world. The whole world is his field. He's the one who plants it. And in fact, in this parable, it more specifically says God sends his Son to plant all the good that's in the world. For he who sows the good seed, verse 37, is the Son of Man. So where do we get good in the world? All the good that's in the world. God is the one working in the world every good. You know, James says every good and perfect gift is coming down from the Father of lights. That's where you get all the good that's in the world, from God. But then where do we get the evil? Jesus acknowledges that there's much evil in the world. There's poisonous weeds that have grown up in the world, much rottenness, much evil. He says the good seed means the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. So in the world, Jesus says there's both weeds and wheat. There's both evil and good. There's both the wicked and the righteous. And these two are growing up together in the world, both good and evil. And what are the evil? The evil are unbelievers. That is, those who receive to repent of their sins and choose, therefore, to do evil and who promote all that's wrong in the world. The good are the sons of the kingdom. That's what Jesus plants. Has he planted you? Are you his seed, springing up to bear abundant good fruit? Well, who plants the good seed again? You tell me. Jesus, the Son of Man. Who plants the evil seed in this parable? He says, an enemy has done this. Why, say the workers, why is there evil things growing up in your fields? I thought you planted good seed, God. And the landowner says, an enemy has done this. Slipped in secretly at night and sprinkled evil seeds in the field, and they're growing up. And Jesus said in John 8, of the Jews who rejected him, he said, I speak of what I've seen from my Father, with my Father, and you do what you've heard from your Father. They said, we have one Father, even God. And Jesus says, if God were your Father, you'd love me. For I proceeded and came forth from God. Why don't you understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You're of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there's no truth in him. So are there weeds growing up in the world? Poisonous plants? Who planted these seeds? The devil. Jesus says these are the sons of the evil one who do and produce the evil that's in the world. The weeds, verse 28, are the sons of the evil one, verse 39, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. So where do you get all the good that's in the world? According to Jesus, from God, through the Son of Man, through Jesus Christ. Where do you get all the evil that's springing up in the world? From the devil, the arch enemy, Satan. And God does all the good because he is good, 100% good. He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. It's Jesus' work to do good. And this is a great comfort to us today, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. The Bible says, Isaiah 61, I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I'll faithfully give them their recompense. Jeremiah 9, God says, let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I'm the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Psalm 113 says, he raises the poor from the dust, lifts up the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, the princes of the people. Do you know, if you look out in the world today, there's a lot of good going on? Would you know it by watching, you know what, ABC, NBC, MSNBC, Fox News, whatever? What do you get from the news? All you get from the news is the poisonous plants growing up. That's all you see. But there's a lot of good going on. God is the one who feeds all of his creatures daily. From the fish to the pheasant, the horse to the human, he feeds the world. He also binds up the brokenhearted. Has he done that with you? He gives strength to the weak. He seeks the lost. He preaches the truth. He reaches out his hands to help. He raises up the humble. And above all, he gives his own flesh for the life of the world. Jesus says, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, gives his life, his flesh, for the life of the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Is that good? This is the best good of all. He's bringing us into a world of forever with life in him. James says, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So God and Jesus sow into the field of the world, the whole globe, everything that's good, which is springing up every day. Though the news will never tell you, right? If you look at the news, all you see is darnel, poisonous weeds, tares, wickedness, but guess what? There's a lot of good growing up friends. What if you were in heaven and you could read heaven's newspaper? 10,000 delivered today over here in China. You know, 40,000 saved over here in this country in Africa. This many visited hospitals. This many showing kindness. This many prayers. There's a lot of good growing up too. But there's a lot of evil growing up as well. So let's now answer our question. If God is good and he is all powerful, why doesn't he just come in and deal with the wicked right now? Get rid of it, destroy it, root it up, and tear it out. You ever thought that? Why doesn't God just act right now and destroy all the wicked? If he has it in his hands to do it, he could do it if he wants to. Well, do you know that this is the same question that the servants of the landowner asked the landowner in this parable? Verse 27. Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. Watch this. The servants said to him, then do you want us to go and gather them? In other words, do you want us to get rid of them right now in the early stages and rip them all out of there so we only have good in the world? Now, who are the servants here spoken of? What do you think? Could be us, the righteous, the saints. Could also be the angels, because the angels are the ones who are going to reap in the end. The angels, then, if this is angels, are asking the same question you are. God, you have a world. You're a good God. You're all powerful. It's getting weeds growing up. Well, Satan's done this. Well, the angels would say, do you want us to go and then get rid of all the wicked right now? We'll do it. We're ready to go. We'll go take care of it. They're asking the same question you are. God, if you're good, shouldn't we just get rid of all this wickedness right now? Why would you allow it to grow up on your field? But note the wise answer of the landowner. No, lest in gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them. Let them both grow up together until the harvest time. And then at harvest time, I'll tell my reapers to go out and gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But the wheat I'll gather into my barn. Here is our answer, friends. So what is the answer? Why does God not get in there and destroy all the wicked right now? Why does he let it prosper right now? What's the answer? Because he doesn't want to destroy the good that's growing up in the world right now too. Do you know if God came right now and did what you want him to do and destroyed all the wicked, he'd also sweep away all the good that's going on right now? If he came in judgment and the last day came right now, he'd sweep it all away. And all that good that is growing up in the world, along here's the evil, here's the good, both of them would be reaped, and the harvest of all this wheat that's growing up would be nothing. Very wise landowner. Let them both grow up together. Let them mature together until the harvest, and then we'll reap and separate the two. And so in Jesus' day, this is a very apropos illustration, because you'd have, and even to this day in Palestine and such areas, you have wheat growing up, but there was something also called darnel or tares, a different type of plant called a weed here, zizanion in the Greek, which was a kind of plant that looked identical to wheat in its early stages as it's growing up. The only difference was it had black seeds in it. And its fruit was extremely poisonous, but it looked just like the wheat in the early stages. And if the reapers would go out there and gather early on, they'd root up the whole field and everything would be, even the good would be torn up. And so the landowner is very wise in waiting and letting both grow up together. And God is very wise. He wants both the good and the wicked. He's going to allow both to grow up until the end, until the harvest, and then he'll make a great separation. So, what's the harvest in this parable? What? He says it's the end of the age, the end of this world, the last day when Jesus returns, and the reapers, Jesus says, are angels. He says the Son of Man will send his angels, verse 41, and they'll gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers and throw them into the furnace of fire. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. And so Both are going to mature. What do you see maturing in the world right today? You see things like rape, robbery, intrigue, twisted lies, conspiracies, murders, every deed and every foul practice. And you look at the news and you're like, oh, this world, what's it coming to? I don't even look at the news. Don't you feel like that? I'm like, I set my timer actually. I give myself like 2 minutes or 5 minutes. I'm like, that's it. Can't take anymore. But then do you know that the good is maturing as well? Souls are getting saved. Christians are visiting hospitals, showing kindnesses, speaking the truth, reaching out in compassion, helping the needy, delivering the poor. In these things, the King on high delights. And God is very concerned that the good be allowed to grow up as well and their time not be cut short. But there's a day and there's an hour where God will come to judge. There is an hour for destroying the evil, but he doesn't want to cut short the growing up the good too. So he says here, let the both grow together until the end, to the harvest, and then God will set all things right. He'll send out his angels and gather the wheat into his barn, but the wicked he'll burn with unquenchable fire. For Isaiah says, the Lord of hosts has a day against all that's proud and lofty, against all that's high and lifted up. The haughty looks of man shall be brought low, and the pride of man shall be humbled. And the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. So we want to take heart today that God cares. And he cares very deeply about the justice that's done on the earth. His eyes are on his people and his day is coming. But as we read in Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11, because sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully set on doing evil. Amen. People think, oh, I'm getting away with it. God's not judging me. I'm doing great. I'll keep on going this direction of wickedness because I haven't seen him judge me. But his judgments are on high out of his sight, out of their sight. So how does this answer our question today? Is God good? 100% all the time. All the time, amen. Is God all powerful? Yes, he is 100% of the time. All the time, amen. Why does God stay his hand and not root out the wicked? Because he wants to let the good grow up at the same time. He's going to make a distinction, though, in the end. And let this be for your courage and encouragement today. See how this plays out in the other scriptures that we looked at. Habakkuk. He's got enemies coming against him. He says, why do you look on faithless men and are silent while the wicked swallows up the man more righteous than he? Where are you, Lord? And God tells him, still the vision awaits its time. It hastens to its end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It won't delay. Behold, he whose soul is not upright in him shall fail, but the righteous shall live by his faith. What's the word there? God says to Habakkuk, just wait. You'll see again whether I am caring about these things or not. Just wait, Habakkuk. David says, help, Lord, for there's no longer any that is godly. And God says, there's a day coming. Behold, because the poor are despoiled, because the needy groan, I'll now arise, says the Lord. I'll place him in the safety for which he longs. There's a day coming, David. Don't you wait. Don't you worry. It's just a little time before I arise to judge. Asaph says, my steps almost stumbled. I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But then I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Truly thou dost set them in slippery places. How they're destroyed in a moment, swept away utterly by terrors. But for me it's good to be near God. I've made the Lord but God my refuge. I'll tell all thy works. What does God tell Asaph? Just wait. Just wait and you'll judge again whether I care about these things. And in Malachi, when God says to his people, your words have been stout against me. How? Because God says you are saying evildoers not only prosper, but when they put God to the test, they escape. We ought to just go be wicked, in other words. God says, then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord heeded and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and thought on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, my special possession on the day when I act. I'll spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. What does that mean to you? On the day when I act. That means he hasn't acted yet. Now, does God act in time? Let me ask you a question. You answer me. Does God act in this life as well to lift up the righteous and save them and also to bring the wicked low? Sure he does. I mean, every time a criminal is brought to justice and goes to jail because of a crime, that's God working to judge the wicked. How about when the righteous are brought low and then God lifts them up and saves them? That's God working. So God does this in time in this world too. But he says, but when you do see for a time the wicked prospering and you do see the righteous brought low, know that I have a day upon which I'm going to act. You might now, right now, might not think that I care about these things, but on that day when I act, you will judge again whether I care about these things. You're going to judge again whether I care when the poor are despoiled and the needy groan. You'll judge again whether I care about righteousness and wickedness and whether I make a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Boy, on the day when I act, it'll be very clear that I've cared all these days, far more than you can know or imagine about these things. But for a time, I hold back my hand until the harvest. Yes, let them both grow together. And at the end, I will act on these things and make the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Believe me, God says, believe me. I care. I'm all powerful. I'm all good. I'm just waiting. And you need to wait and be patiently too. And even in God is so good that in this time, he even works to save the wicked, which we were too at a time, even the vilest enemies of his, to turn the weeds in his field into wheat. For as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, says God. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. So turn and live, God says to the world. So what's God saying to us today when we for a time see the evil prosper and the righteous suffer? He says, you be patient until the coming of the Lord. Don't lose heart. Don't lose courage. Don't lose faith. Don't lose zeal. Don't lose love. For in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart. For you have a king, I the Lord God, and Jesus my son, your prince, who is good and just and upright in all that I am and in all that I do. And I gave my son's life for you. Through his cross, you're saved by grace through faith in his name. And he and I together today renew your strength, that you would mount up with wings like eagles, that you run today and not be weary, that you walk and not faint. Be encouraged, for these words hold true. The needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense. So I, the Lord God, will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth in all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Why Does God Allow Evil to Prosper? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are 10 a.m. on Sundays, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages or leave a comment, please visit our website at Christ Lutheran Church, CapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.
In open fields of wildflowers, she breathes the air and flies away.
She thanks to Jesus for the
daisies and the roses. No simple language, someday she'll understand the meaning.